Charges are dropped and reduced in a Haynes drug bust case, and the first week of November is jam-packed with Harbor and Heliski meetings. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. A recent drug bust in Haynes now has much less serious charges attached to it. The defendant in the case points to that as evidence of police ineptitude, but prosecutors and police say even though the case is diminished, they plan to pursue the remaining charges. Police initially charged Dean Laurie with four felonies. They include three possession charges, which are Class C felonies, and one more serious Class B felony involving manufacturing or delivering drugs. The charges stem from a sting in mid-October in which police worked with an informant to observe Laurie allegedly selling 6 grams of cocaine. They then obtained a warrant to search his house, where they allegedly found 57 marijuana plants and small amounts of cocaine and methamphetamine. But Assistant District Attorney Amy Page decided to drop two of those charges and reduce the other two to misdemeanors. Page said there were legal issues that made her think she could not prove two of the charges beyond a reasonable doubt. She dismissed the manufacture-deliver charge and the possession charge connected to the marijuana plants. Page said she could not give details about what the legal issues were. Haynes Police Chief Heath Scott said he thought the case for those two charges was solid.
The bottom line is the DA's office does what the DA's office does. It's our job as law enforcement officers in the state to observe and provide documented evidence so that the DA's office can do their job. And for whatever reason, they found that that was going to be difficult. So I would defer to them on that.
The remaining two charges are connected to the small amounts of substances found at Laurie's home that police say tested positive for cocaine and methamphetamine. Page reduced those charges from felonies to misdemeanors. The reason for that, she says, is Crime Reform Bill SB 91. The recently passed bill eases penalties for some nonviolent crimes. Laurie says he was not surprised when he learned that of the four original charges against him, two were dropped and two were reduced.
I knew that when the DA saw this thing, that she was going to be like, has anybody trained or talked to or anything about these? There's just too many unanswered questions. You know, why not a month-long investigation or a six-month-long investigation or a, you know what I mean? I mean, if the cops got you, man, they want to solidify their case. Just look at the, you know, the tools that were used to build the box.
Laurie maintains his innocence. He says he was unfairly targeted by police and that it all goes back to a personal vendetta against him.
There is no police excitement here, and they are trying to rustle some up. All these guys came from big cities where there's lots of excitement, lots of things to do, and they are simply getting bored.
Here's Police Chief Scott's response.
I don't think there's a personal vendetta. Mr. Laurie was engaging in criminal acts, and he was arrested for it.
Scott says his department is still investigating the case.
Every time that we make a mistake, we're going to get better at what we do. If we can't get somebody one way, we will try another avenue. And if we are aware of behavior, we are going to put all of our efforts behind resolving.
When asked whether there was a mistake made with Laurie's case, Scott said no, but there's always things the police can improve on.
We can get better each and every day.
Scott says he plans for the department to take a more proactive stance, cracking down on manufacturing, distribution, and cultivation of drugs in Haynes. Laurie is set to be arraigned on the updated charges Thursday in Haynes Court. You may want to ride your Halloween candy sugar buzz past October 31st, as the Haynesboro is off to a busy start this November. The schedule for the first week of the month is filled with meetings. KHNS's Abby Collins has the details.
On Tuesday, a special assembly meeting will be held in assembly chambers at 3 p.m. The assembly will consider a resolution calling for a special advisory vote on the Portage Cove Harbor expansion design. Newly elected Assemblyman Tom Morfitt drafted the resolution and submitted it to the borough last week. Later Tuesday, the Heli-Ski Map Committee will meet to review four of the map change proposals submitted by SEBA. That meeting will be held at 5 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. Following the Heli-Ski meeting at 6:30 p.m., there's a meeting to discuss LUTAC Doc, identify user needs, and review preliminary design concepts and the project schedule. That meeting is in the library. The school board meets at the same time Tuesday in the school library. On Wednesday, a committee of the whole meeting will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. The Assembly will discuss fiscal year 18 budget preparations and review bids for the Small Boat Harbor expansion project. The bids will come before the Assembly for a possible vote at its November 8th meeting. On Thursday, the Heli-Ski Map Committee will meet again, this time at 5 p.m. at the Haynes Library, to review four map change proposals submitted by Alaska Heli-Skiing. At 6:30 p.m. Thursday, the Planning Commission will hold a work session to discuss the Haynes Coastal Management Plan. They'll weigh which parts of the plan remain relevant to possibly adapt into borough code. All of these meetings are open to the public, and more information can be found on the Haynes Borough website. Reporting in Haynes, I'm Abby Collins.
Back in July, the Haynes Borough issued a boil water notice for certain residents because of a problem with the water supply. To get the word out, borough staff called residents one by one and put a notice online. Now, a new system may make notifying locals about important safety alerts more efficient. Celeste Grimes is a dispatch supervisor at the Haynes Police Department.
Nixle is basically like a community-wide notification, whether it be like an Amber Alert or a weather alert, any kind of traffic hazard. We just want to make an immediate notification to our public.
Nixle is a notification service utilized by police departments and municipalities. Residents can opt into the system by texting the Haynes area code 99827 to the phone number 888-777. Then they'll be on the list to receive a text message when the borough sends out an alert. There is more information about the notification system at the Haynes Borough website, haynesalaska.gov. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. The following is a listener commentary and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoint of Lynn Canal Broadcasting, the Board of Directors, or staff.
This is Assemblymember Tom Morfitt. I understand the community wants an expanded harbor. I reported on meetings in 1995 when harbor expansion was identified as a community goal. I believe a great majority of residents support expanding the harbor. The hitch is in the current design. Many residents have concern with the project design, and I want to make sure we build the harbor that the public wants. This is why I pushed for a special assembly meeting Tuesday to put to voters in a special election an advisory question on the harbor design. The question for voters, in a nutshell, will be this: is this the harbor expansion that you want? Taxpayers typically get a vote on large projects. On a typical project, the borough sees a need, designs a project, then ask voters to approve it, including the design, in the form of approving a bond to pay for the project. That didn't happen on the harbor project because funding for the first phase of this project was given to us by the state. However, all borough taxpayers, not just boat owners or assembly members, will help foot the bill for a new harbor, including maintenance, operation, and replacement. Voters also may pay for portions of phase 3 and 4 of this project, as fishermen already have said they want raw fish tax revenues currently going to the borough to help pay for these. If all the taxpayers are paying, all of them should get a vote on what they'll be paying for. Some have suggested we conduct a survey instead of holding a vote. A survey does not poll every tax-paying voter, does not give a voice to every citizen. This is why we do not use surveys to choose assembly members or approve bonds. A vote gives a voice to everyone who wants to say, in this case, a say on whether the harbor design goes forward. Elections tend to settle issues, as they represent the undistilled will of the citizenry. If a majority of residents don't want this design, let's change the design. If a majority wants this design, let's build it. We should build the harbor expansion that residents want, and on a project likely to cost $30 million or more, certifying that through an election is not only reasonable, it's the right thing to do. Please come to Tuesday's meeting. This is Assemblymember Tom Morfitt.
The preceding remarks are the personal view of the commentator and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoint of Lynn Canal Broadcasting, the board of directors, or staff. KHNS welcomes the submission of responsible commentaries by our listeners. Please come by the studio, call us at 983-2853 or 766-2020, or go online for a copy of the commentary guidelines at khns.org under listener submissions.